Thank you. I'm like a bullet shot of a gun. I can't wait to get up here. So, amen. Children's Church, yes. Wow, victory in Jesus. Good morning. All right. Next week, next Sunday morning, as Derry said, we're going to bring our guys from Penfield. If you guys don't know, I work with a ministry called Penfield Christian Homes. It's a co-op ministry of the Georgia Baptist Mission Board, and we have four campuses in Georgia, but you'll hear more about that next Sunday. And we're going to bring our guys here for fifth Sunday, and it'll be great. There'll be about 20, maybe 22 fellows right now. That's the way it's looking. Plus, I think a lot of our staff and counselors and therapists are going to be here too, so I'm twisting their arm. Using some guilt, you know, a little guilt manipulation technique. It's in Second Opinions, chapter 3 in the Bible. But, yeah, we're really excited about that. They sing Victory in Jesus every day for 6 weeks. And they're gonna sing it for you guys Sunday morning. And we do it the Penfield way. So it's very good. It's very cool. I think you'll enjoy it. It's a real blessing. I think it'll be a real blessing to you. I got one of our key leaders going to share his testimony with you, and then I'm going to share a short word from the Lord. So I think it'll be a good day. And thank you guys for cooking for them. So you guys definitely bring some side items and for Boston Butt. I think we'll smoke some Boston Butt. All right. Also, I know they're not here, but we definitely want to congratulate Matt and Megan for getting married. Was it yesterday, right? I think they got married yesterday, so, you know, if they're listening on the internet somewhere on their honeymoon, you know, congratulations. So, that's awesome. That's awesome. And then I want to say thank you for all the folks at the Compassion House. I mean, you know, Lynn and I can't be everywhere at all the times, you know, so sometimes we're definitely praying for you guys, and we appreciate the guys coming out on Friday during those Friday prayer times, and the Sunday school teachers and the workers behind the scenes. And thank you guys for doing the work of Jesus, right? And so thank you. There's a lot of work that goes behind the scenes. So I just want to thank everyone. And excited about Vacation Bible School too. So I think that's going to be awesome. And thank you. All right. So I'm really excited about the next few weeks. We're going to study the Beatitudes. I'm going to kind of continue in the Sermon on the Mount. And I'd like to share something with you. I believe that most of life's problems, even with us Christians, are, you know, the reason is because I think that sometimes we really don't understand or really don't know anything about the Beatitudes. And especially the Sermon on the Mount. I know we spent 5 weeks studying the Lord's Prayer. So I feel like God's put on my heart that we're gonna take the next. Not sure, you know. If we just do the eight, we're looking at 8 weeks, right? And then Mother's Day in there, and so we're gonna look at the next few several weeks. We're gonna go into detail about the Beatitudes that Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount. Anybody know why it's called the Sermon on the Mount? What's that? Because he talked on a mountain. That's deep, isn't it, Adam? That's deep, you know. But yeah, Jesus taught on the side of a mountain, you know, the Sermon on the Mount. So let's pray. Father, we just love you and thank you for the wonderful praise and worship this morning. And thank you, Lord, for the ones who made it today and the ones that they couldn't make it, Lord, to lift them up in Jesus' name. There's a lot of folks out there that need to be healed and they have sickness and illnesses in their lives, Father. We plead the blood of Jesus over their lives and we bring them to you and we lay them at the foot of the cross, Lord. We ask the best way we know how, Lord. We just ask that your will be done in their lives. Lord, thank you for America. Lord, I pray for our soldiers over in the other countries and the way things are lining up now, we're just not really sure, Lord. We're just going to trust you, though. We're going to trust you each day, and we pray for our military folks around the world doing what they do to defend our country. And Lord, I ask you to give me the strength to do and say what you want me to say, Lord, during this time of studying the Beatitudes. I give it all over to you, Lord, and I ask you to bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 through 12. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 through 12. Amen. All right, let's read. Matthew 5, 1 through 12. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. And he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Amen? All right, so let's look at verse 3. And we're going to spend this morning on verse 3. It says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, if you look at the word blessed, and you look at the Greek meaning, I like to do that and break it down so we get a deeper meaning of what, you know, God's really trying to share with us. That word blessed means happy. Now pause, because I really want that to set in with you. It means happy, likened to a vibrant heart. And that word vibrant means full of energy and enthusiastic. Now, some people believe that it's not good, or it's even not godly to pursue happiness. They think and teach that happiness comes and goes. That's what they'll say. Well, happiness comes and goes based on situations and experiences. And we know that's true, especially if you're basing your happiness on earthly things. If you're basing your happiness on earthly pleasures, we all know it comes and goes, right? But here's Jesus taking, in my opinion, one of the most important sermons and teachings, and he's telling us, hey, you can be happy. It's okay to be happy. Jesus is teaching us how to walk in grace and experience happiness in this life and the life beyond. It says, blessed. In other words, happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And here we have this again, the same word, the same Greek, the same word. This kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of God. The same thing we talked about in the Lord's Prayer. It means the same thing. It's Jesus. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what we know is that the folks who are poor in spirit are the ones who are the kingdom builders. The folks that are poor in spirit, and I'm going to explain that a little bit more later, but the ones who are poor in spirit are the ones who make things happen in the kingdom of God. They're the ones that are out ministering and making things happen and leading people to Christ and doing the work of the kingdom. Okay, so what does the poor in spirit mean? To be poor in spirit means that we're aware of our great need. We are aware of our poverty-stricken condition, and so desperately in need of a Savior. Those poor in the Spirit truly, truly understand this verse when Jesus says in John 15:5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing." They truly understand this, those who are poor in spirit. Now, the way that we become poor in spirit, and listen closely to this, the way that we become poor in spirit is that we learn what God wants to do to us and through us. We learn through Bible study and prayer and fellowship with other believers. We learn what God wants to do to us and through us. Okay, now let's talk a little bit about the to us. What does God want to do to us? Well, God wants to save us, right? Those who are lost, you know, that are lost sinners, God wants to save us. He wants to love us. He wants to teach us. He wants to correct us. He wants to spend time with us. Amen? And God wants to ultimately adopt us into His family. As we learned several weeks ago, He wants to be our Abba Father. He wants to give us eternal life. I would say most of you guys in here, I'm not the one to judge that, right? But I'm assuming that most of you guys in here this morning probably have eternal life. You've accepted Christ. If not, the Bible says today is a day of salvation. So at the end of the service, if you want to get saved, let's do it. All right, I want to do that. Talked about people coming down to the altar in Sunday school class this morning, and it really motivated me. You know, I always want to cast a net. Luke 19:10, very simple verse, but profound. It says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Period. So that's what God wants to do to us. 1 John 5:13. It says, "I have written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life." Everybody say no. Okay. I've been hearing a lot, you know, as I'm, you know, interacting with some guys, you know, in church here, fellowshipping. There's a lot of a sense of, well, I'll just say it, you know, the devil lies to us, you know. And like Wednesday night, we're talking about the devil lies to us. I'm saved, not saved. I'm saved this day. I'm not saved. If I speed and get caught, I'm going to hell. You know, we go back and forth and all this thing, you know, about am I saved, am I not saved? And so, you know, let's settle that right now. 1 John, right? "I have written these things to you who believe in Jesus so that you may know that you have eternal life." Praise the Lord. We can know that. So today, if you've placed you've placed your life in Christ as your Lord and Savior, today, walk away knowing it and never doubting it again. Never listening to the liar and the father of lies, the enemy, right? Amen. Saved. When Christ died on the cross at Easter, He said it's what? Finished. It is finished. So that's what God wants to do to us. So now, I'm hoping everybody's got that settled. So let's talk about what God wants to do through us. Amen? All right. So, through us means just what I'm going to preach for the rest of my life. So if you get tired of me preaching about this, let's talk about it. But I'm always going to be preaching about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You know, I could be talking about Samson. I'm going to bring in death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, right? You know, somewhere in there. So, and about the Great Commission and the Great Commandments. Because that's really what it's all about, isn't it? All through the Old Testament, all through the New Testament, they all come together at the cross, at Jesus. Okay, so God wants to do through us. He's teaching us about these folks who are being poor in spirit. So that's where we're going with this one. Everybody say poor in spirit. Poor in spirit. Now we're going. It's about the kingdom of heaven, because this is what the Bible verse just tells us. It's about us being ministers of reconciliation. It's about us sharing the gospel. It's about us doing the works of the ministry. All right, so I'm just going to read this so I get it right. That's what I typed up. It says, when we begin to spiritually mature, our vision increases with respect to what God wants us to do through us. Then we see this gap between what God wants to do with us and what we think we can actually do. Everybody get that? So as we spiritually mature, God begins to give us a vision of what He wants us to do in our life. Whether it's teach a Sunday school class, or lead the choir, or sing in the choir, or be a minister, pastor, evangelist, missionary. But God begins to deposit what He wants us to do. And for those who are poor in the Spirit, this is what begins to happen. This gap causes us to see and think, oh man, how can I do that? There's no way I can do this. I don't know if I can do that. So it leaves this gap of poverty. I love when people say, I don't know if I can do this. Well, guess what? You can't. And they always look at me like, what do you mean? You're supposed to motivate me, encourage me. No, if you're following God and what He's really wanting to do with your life, there's times when you'll feel what? I can't do this. There's just no way. You see, we see clearly how being spiritually poor we really are. We desperately need God. We desperately need the cross. All that settled for you guys. What we'll do is we'll start looking at our own human resources. And we say, I can't close the gap. But guys, most of our Bible heroes and most of our Bible examples felt inadequate, didn't they? They felt uneducated. They felt too weak. They felt that the vision was too big. The dream was too crazy. In Judges chapter 6, verse 12, and then go into 15 and 16. It says, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And Gideon probably said, huh? Who are you talking to? You know? I'm a farmer. I don't know about battle and war. And Gideon said this in the scripture. He says, pardon me, Lord. I love when they do that. You know, pardon me, Lord. I think you got the wrong guy here, you know. That's what it says. It's, pardon me, Lord, Gideon replied. But how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest, and I am the least in my family. I'm the runt. How can you use me? And the Lord answers, I will be with you. And you will strike down all of the Mennonites, leaving none alive. God said He would be with them. You see, Gideon was poor in spirit. He knew that there's no way that he could have done that. There's no way he can do what God was calling him to do. No way. But God was with him. And we know the rest of the story. Now Moses, I could have picked out a ton of examples, but I just picked out these two. Moses in Exodus chapter 4, 10 and 12, God said, So now go, Moses, and I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said the same thing. Go and I will be with you. Here's Moses. The same thing. He says, pardon me. Wait a minute. It's literally what it says. Exodus 4:10-13 says, pardon me, your servant. It says, I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. And Moses even went on and said, please, Lord, send someone else. That's literally what it says. You see, you guys, God wants us to catch a vision to where it requires us to be poor in spirit. See, if we can do it on our own power, that just leads to pride, don't it? That leads to pride and arrogance, and look at me, I was able to do this, and I was able to do that. Without me, man, without, right? But no, that's not the way Jesus explained it to us in the Beatitudes. God wants to fill the gap between what we can't do and what He is able to do. And He will be able to do it, and He wants us to do it with a vibrant heart, a heart full of enthusiasm and zeal, knowing that, man, if this gets done, it's going to be all God and not me. Because there's no way I can get up and learn how to play a piano. There's no way I have the patience to deal with these children. There's no way I can give up and give my testimony in front of other people. There's no way I can go talk to my neighbor and take them a box of cookies because they just moved in the neighborhood. And hopefully that'll open up the window and invite them to church. Oh. God wants to manifest His love through us as we impact others. And when we serve and impact others, He wants a spirit of inspiration and understanding that His grace is sufficient for us. We can do it. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength, right? His grace is sufficient for us. God may be moving on some of you to go on this mission trip to wherever the next one is going to be going. I don't know. I don't have the money. I don't know if I can do that. I'm scared of getting some crazy disease. And I you hear all this stuff, you know. But if God's putting on your heart to move, God will fill in that gap. Poor in spirit. I'm going to be honest with you here. You ready for some honesty? The first 3 months of pastoring here at Pauline, especially when my illness was really bad, remember that? I mean, I went through 5 stages every week. And I'm just sharing it with you, okay? This is around Monday. These thoughts would start firing in my head, like, I can't do this. I'm going to quit. I can't talk to Frankie. I can't talk to Jesse and Pete. Really? And I just keep praying. I would keep praying. As I was physically, it was, you know, I just keep praying. And then around Tuesday, right? Around Tuesday, God would give me a message in my mind. Because originally, the whole scripture around me is coming here was Jesus said, do you love me? Just like Peter, right? I said, yes, Lord, He's going to feed my sheep. That's what I want you to do. I want you to feed my sheep. And love on the people. Feed my sheep, love on the people. So I said, okay, God. But around Tuesday, God would give me a message in my mind. And then around Tuesday night, somewhere around there, I would start to study. I would keep praying. I would start to study. And then I would type out the message. I'd start typing it out. And then around Wednesday, we have a good Wednesday meeting, and that'll motivate me, and I'd feel better physically. And then I keep praying, and then all of a sudden the message will begin around Wednesday night, Thursday morning, the message will begin to move from my mind into my heart and my soul. And then I would get excited about sharing the message. And I'd preach it like 10 times to Lynn, sitting on the couch. Nah. But I'd get excited about the message, and I'd start sharing it. And then Sunday morning come, and I'd preach the message, and I would love the experience with Jesus. And I would love you guys, man. And I would just love what was going on in the church and love you guys. And then Monday morning, I would start the cycle all over again. It was very challenging, and I had to depend on God. I had to depend on God like never before in my life. Even Mrs. Jesse told me I better get ready. Depend on God like never before in my life. But I was and still am the happiest I've ever been in my life. Happy are those who are poor in spirit. I knew I could not do this. I'm not a seasoned pastor, never pastored church. I just knew that it avoided it for many years. But God began to show me a little bit there that maybe I was poor in the spirit, that I just knew it couldn't happen. But God filled the gap. God come in and He was able. And every time I believe that He showed up and worked me through that every day, every week. And He gave me what I needed just at the right time. And He gave us, I believe, what we all need just at the right time. Just like we've learned from the sermons from the past month or two. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is saying He wants you to be ministers of reconciliation. God wants us to be soul winners and Bible teachers and Sunday school teachers and preachers and missionaries and encouragers and givers. Givers of money, givers of time, givers of talents, right? Church leaders. God's raising up the future deacons. Amen? Not these guys are going to die off, but God's raising up the future deacons. He's raising up the kids in the church and the future Sunday school leaders and youth directors and all that. My friends, allow God to give you a personal dream for your own individual ministry. I believe that the most effective ministries are those small ministries. I believe that's the heartbeat of God, is those small ministries. Not the large, big things. Thank God for the Billy Graham Evangelistic Associations and all that. That's only like less than 1% of what really affects the world. It's the small, individual ministries. Even Jesus only hung out with a few, right? And that impacted the world and still impacts the world. Guys, it can be as simple as a little coffee time with a friend. It could be as simple as a home group Bible study, maybe, you know, or some kind of little Bible study in your neighborhood. Reaching out for the kids. It could be a ladies' night at a restaurant with three or four ladies just hanging out, giggling, having fun, talking about the Lord. It could be a few guys, man, two or three, four or five guys hunting, fishing, talking about the goodness of God. Iron sharpens iron, as Darius was talking about this morning. But trust me, when we're come at it with a poor in the spirit that we really can't do it, that we desperately, desperately need God to accomplish these things, God will fill the gap. He will show up and He will help you for whatever He's calling you to do for His kingdom. And I'll close with this. Happy is he or she who knows they can't do it, but they believe God can and will. Amen? So let's close. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this time. I pray for this word that it will grow and blossom. It will produce fruit in the lives of my friends and family here this morning. Father, I pray, Lord, if there's one here today that's never accepted Christ as their personal Savior, that Holy Spirit, you would draw them to the altar. Draw them down here like we heard this morning, David's testimony, and a few others, Dwayne. Father, if there's one here, Lord, you draw them. You know, it's nothing I can say or do, but the Holy Spirit is you drawing people into salvation. So if there's one that wants to get saved, you could talk to me after church. That's fine, too. Or talk to one of our men here or ladies. Or if there's somebody here that would like to join our church, Lord, they come down and talk. Talk to us. Get on that journey. Lord, we just ask that your will be done in all this. In Jesus' name, amen.